It always felt a little transactional and surface level to me. And so when I came to Highland and I started to see and really feel what does it mean and feel like and look like to connect with someone on like a born and raised level, the depth of relationship and the depth of understanding just starts from such a stronger foundation.
Welcome to Mindful Warrior Radio, a podcast that explores the intersection of leadership, culture, performance, and flow. Through thought-provoking conversations with innovative changemakers and industry leaders, we uncover the mindsets, strategy, and experiences that drive personal and professional excellence. Each episode offers real-world insight, inspiring stories, and actionable wisdom to help you cultivate resilience, purpose, and peak performance in your own life. Today on Mindful Warrior Radio, we welcome Aleka Hughes McPherson, Head of Portfolio and Platform at Highland. Aleka brings deep experience in strategy, operations, and leadership, supporting founders and scaling early stage companies. She began her career at Catalent Technology, rising from sales to a key role in strategic operations. A former captain at Yale's women's ice hockey team, Aleka also founded the Maddie Swartz Foundation, honoring her late teammate, and serves on the board of the Hockey Humanitarian Award, an honor she once received. In this episode, we dive into how Aleka helps build strong leaders, winning teams, and healthy high-growth companies. Wonderful. Aleka, thank you so much for joining us on Mindful Warrior Radio today. We're so excited to have you on as a guest.
Hi, Cammie. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Aleka, I would like to start by sharing with our listeners that you are the head of portfolio and platform at Highland. And I was hoping that you could share a bit about what the core responsibilities and the nature is of this role, and also share some insight on Highland.
Head of portfolio and platform in the world of VC can kind of have a couple different shapes and sizes. It was quite interesting as I joined Highland 2 years ago, just coming up on 2 years ago now, and I'm happy to share some context on, you know, who we are and where we play in the ecosystem. But as I joining Highland, was leaving the world of operating at a startup and coming over to the VC world, I did, even before I joined, but then also upon joining, just did so much research and networking, being like, okay, who are all these other people in this role or similar role, and what do they do? And how do I want to kind of like take that knowledge in and use it to define and build what the portfolio and platform strategy and function would become for us at Highland? And through all of those conversations and research, like the one through line was, it means something a little different everywhere. And that's because the firms have different strategies, or they've brought in different like talent, different role archetypes to lead the function, et cetera. So anyways, it means something a little different at different places. And Highland, it actually might be helpful to provide context on who we are and how we work, but something that, you know, like one of the core ethos for us at Highland is team sports are more fun. And that really comes through in how we work and how we show up to like all facets of the job. So I spend time working with our founders and their leadership team post-investment. That's a big part of my job, but I'm not the only person on my team that does that. I'm constantly pulling in my partners, my investors, the associates on our team, in inverse, they're pulling me in, et cetera. So supporting our companies post-investment with different value creation initiatives is a core part of the role. I also work with our limited partners, so the institutional investors that are giving us money to invest. I'm doing communications, meetings, et cetera, nurturing those relationships. And then I'm also supporting our firm from the inside, from an operational lens. So I'm an ex-operator. We are actually, and again, I can provide this context, but Highland X is our new vehicle that spun out of Highland Capital Partners. So it's just like really fun blend of this like 10-year and proven storied venture capital firm, all this legacy and history, paired with this like gritty new emerging manager energy. And so Highland X is a new vehicle, is a new firm, and I'm helping with some of the firm building components, as, and that comes really naturally to me as an operator. And then I guess last component of the job is supporting the team with deals. So as opportunities are kind of moving, gaining momentum and moving through our pipeline, you know, I'm in all of those conversations with founders, their teams, customer calls, you know, supporting diligence where I can. Typically, the role I play, the lens I take, is helping evaluate the team and in the market a little bit sometimes. So, yeah, it's a really fun role. I see a lot. It's insane how much I've learned over the last 2 years. And every day I'm like, oh, I've got a lot more to learn. But that's why I love it. So it's really fun.
Wonderful. We're excited to tap into what you have learned and what you're excited to learn as you continue to grow within Highland. I think what really stands out is a part of your ethos is team sports are just more fun, right? This mm-hmm. idea of what is it to operate as a team. You know, I think everyone can kind of understand that concept, but you know, there's really an art and a commitment and a grit to truly operating as a healthy team. And I would imagine that is probably your guys's goal internally and for your clientele. Also, some of your background is in women's ice hockey, and you captained the Yale women's ice hockey team. And so there is, I would imagine, some experience and wisdom that you're bringing from that time. And I'm curious, as you are stepping into this role and growing within to this in this role, what are you bringing with you from your time leading on the ice and playing team sports?
I want to take this question maybe on a circuitous path. One of the things we do at Highland is born and raised. So Cammy, what's your story? Born and raised. And so often when you're meeting a founder or you're networking with someone or whatever it might be, people just jump into the recent, you know, the recent path. I'm Aleka, I'm head of portfolio and platform at Highland. You know, so great to meet you. And it's like, wonderful. Like, rewind. Tell me about yourself. Who are you? And so in that like team-based approach, let's say we're talking to a founder, all 10 members of the Highland team will be on the call. So they'll be like, you know, the full Zoom grid. And we go around and introduce ourselves and we start, Aleka Hughes McPherson, I'm head of portfolio and platform. I was born and raised north of Chicago. And I'll give you the long version, but we set this precedent of like, we want to know you and we want you to know us as full people. And the story from the beginning is where so much of the magic comes from. And it just fosters this immediate connection and trust in a way that's really genuine. I'm thinking back on like, I came up through, as I mentioned, had a really great run at a fun, exciting Boston-based startup. And I came up through sales and I learned, you know, strategic enterprise selling from great people. And so much of it is, you know, how do you establish trust with prospects to win them as clients and build rapport? And I think I got pretty good at that. Like I'm very comfortable in social situations and know how to build connection with people. But it always felt a little transactional and surface level to me. And so when I came to Highland and I started to see and really feel what does it mean and feel like and look like to connect with someone on like a born and raised level, the depth of relationship and the depth of understanding just starts from such a stronger foundation. So with that, maybe I can give you my born and raised. Hockey is just an incredible pillar in my story and a huge part of my identity. And then maybe I can come back to answering your question more directly.
It's brilliant. I love it. Okay. So please tell us the born and raised version of your story and allow us to look a little bit deeper into what builds you up to who you are today.
I was born and raised north of Chicago. I am the middle sister. So I have two brothers. My older brother is just a click older than me, a year and a half older than me. My younger brother is 2 years younger than me. And we all played college hockey. Both my brothers played professional hockey after college. And my brothers did not pass me the puck. And so where we grew up, cold Chicago winters, we had endless access to outdoor rinks in our town. You'd ride your bike to the park that was flooded, or we had the winter club outdoor skating, and we just played hockey and neighborhood sports and all the things. It wasn't just hockey. I played a lot of sports, but hockey is a kind of underpinning of my family. Actually, both my mom and my dad played. And I've come from like very athletic families through my mom's side and my dad's side. And so we are probably hyper competitive, most of my friends would say. But through sport, my parents taught us just, so many like foundational life lessons. And it's just such a big part of who I am, who my brothers are. And like, I imagine it's the same for you, and the same with water polo, but like within 10 seconds of being on the field or the ice or the pool of someone, you know who they are in a flash, right? Like, did they pass the puck? Did they back check? Were they psyched for their teammate when they scored? And I learned those lessons through playing pickup hockey with my brothers and with a chip on my shoulder a little bit. Like, no one was gonna pass me the puck. I had to go get it and make a name for myself. So anyways, that propelled me forward. I came east for boarding school. So at 14, I went to a, really, competitive New England prep school, had just an incredible time and learning experience there. The most formative athletic experience for me was my 4 years playing varsity field hockey at Hotchkiss. And so interestingly, like not my main sport, but experienced excellence, true excellence through that athletic chapter. It was a 10-year dynasty of, winning the private school New England championship, multiple seasons undefeated. My senior year, we had one goal scored on us and the whole season. And, what was so unique about it was the majority of us on the team, like year after year, went on to play either lacrosse or hockey, mostly in college. So it was just this crew of outrageous athletes with zero ego, because none of us really knew how to play field hockey. And sitting on top of that was just an extraordinarily gifted coach, Robin Chandler, gifted teacher and gifted motivator. And it was such a profound experience for me to be a part of something excellent in such a profound way so young. It was really cool my freshman year at Yale. So I went to Yale to play ice hockey, committed to Yale young. I wanted to go to an Ivy League school. I was really driven academically. I had some older friends and mentors that, were on a path to go there. And it seemed like a slam dunk. My freshman year at Yale, I'm in this massive auditorium, thousands of people in attendance, and Dick Ebersol of NBC fame is talking about sporting greats. And he literally finishes a sentence talking about Michael Phelps and proceeds to talk about Robin Chandler, my field hockey coach from Hotchkiss. And it was just this really cool moment that was like, oh my God, like Dick Ebersol is talking about Robin in the same sentence and like, you know, of all of these sporting greats. And it really like cemented to me at a young age of like how special that experience was and how it was something that I wanted to build on and carry forward. Because since then, I've learned how rare it is to be on a team that operates at such a consistent level of excellence. And then bringing it forward to Yale, the program really struggled and the team struggled when I was there. It was maybe my freshman year was our most, of my 4 years was our like best season. And it was for someone who was so hyper-competitive and just loved to play, loved to win. It was a really challenging stretch for me to be on a losing team. Like literally my worst nightmare. I don't know if you've experienced being on a losing team. It sucks. Like it's really hard day in, day out to, you know, come back from a long road trip and bring home 0 points, 1 point, even two. Like, you know, it's not like when you want to win and you want to excel and you want to be a part of the best, it was really challenging. All that said, like I love to play and I love to get better. And I would spend my summers, you know, working out in these like really elite strength training programs with all these, you know, guys who played pro hockey, and the other women I played with were part of the Olympic development program. And I would go out to Milwaukee and work on the physics of my stride and perfect my skating. And so like, I love the game then. And I love just getting better and being the best version of myself. And I'm so grateful and lucky that I had, you know, access to so many great, you know, teachers and experiences. When hockey ended for me, even though it was obviously coming, there wasn't really professional hockey for women didn't really exist in the same way as it does now. And it was really hard for me, huge identity, shift. And my college roommate, actually, she was a rower. The Yale women's crew team is, you know, repeat national champions. She was, you know, top of the top, and she had a series of really significant injuries while she was at school. And her sports psychologist told her to that losing her sport was akin to a death of a loved one. And when she told me that, I didn't get it until hockey ended, and grieving the loss of my identity tied to sport was so sad, because I just wanted to keep going and keep playing. It's so important, because when I think of like where I am today as a professional or how I've navigated my career, I've benefited so much from my experience at Yale and Hotchkiss and all the great people I've met and the networks I've developed. But within me is this like deep, deep fire to just be a part of an exceptional team that just goes out there and crushes it. And I think what's so exciting for me is I've found that at Highland. We are a really unique team. We are, it's so fun the way that we operate and work together. And there's such a like strong cohesion and shared values set and clarity on what we're trying to do and how we're going to do it. And it's a journey. Like venture isn't a game where the points are up on the scoreboard immediately. You've got to be patient and opportunistic and earn it. I feel that. And I think being an athlete, the experience through sport, like mentally, physically too, but like you really learn what grit truly is, and perseverance and working harder and smarter than everyone else out there, whatever it might be. So anyways, that's my story. Coming back to Highland, most of us are college athletes on the team. So it's definitely like a through line. And I think only because of the kind of the values that one can develop and how like that experience through sport can really shape someone's character and influences like how they show up to a team or the workplace.
Absolutely. I think, again, the born and raised introduction is brilliant, and it was a privilege to hear all of that and how it's impacted where you are today. I think what I'm hearing is that you are still a teammate in every capacity, and you know well how to be a teammate. I can hear that in everything that you're communicating. And we could take this podcast completely into grieving the loss of your identity as an athlete, because I totally, you know, had my own experience after years of playing, you know, on the national team and having that come to an end. But I think in what I'm hearing you and what you are reminding me and connecting in within myself is that we inherently know and we've earned how to be teammates always.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that really is sticking out to me, especially in how you potentially work and show up for your portfolio companies and how you are helping support your portfolio companies, is this. You had said, you know, you get on the ice or you jump in the pool and you kind of almost immediately can kind of figure out people's tendencies, how they're showing up, kind of maybe, you know, what their motivations are, and how they're carrying themselves. And mm-hmm. that resonated so deeply when you said that. And I think in learning more about Highland and your role and even your, you know, who you're working with within Highland, I think that that is such an important skill to have that has been learned over years and years and years of being in different team settings and being able to have that ability and that lens to at least pick up on a general feeling and understanding. And so you're helping to develop and build or influence the building of leadership teams. And so as you continue to understand leadership and you are getting repetition in working with founders and wanting to set some of these and help influence and support and set some of these companies up for success, what kind of key qualities are either you looking for or really truly identify in successful founders, CEOs, and executive leadership teams? Like, what are some of those things that really kind of jump out to you as you're on that journey?
I'll say I feel I'm new to all of this, and that I've just, you know, I've been at Highland coming up on 2 years now. I spent 6.5 years at Catalan, a startup in various different leadership capacities. So built teams and, you know, operated as part of an executive team and had, you know, several years of experience in financial services before that. So but I say that all with a bit of humility, and that like I have so much, especially as it relates to evaluating founders. I've seen a lot in the last 2 years, but there's kind of endless learnings in this domain. With that said, and then I'll also add that there's so many different archetypes, like founder archetypes, right? And so some founders are highly technical and, you know, are product visionaries and gifted engineers, and they know their technical domain so well. And for that, we'll build a team of excellent individuals who want to work with them in building out said product. In other instances, you have like highly charismatic, maybe more commercially minded founders. And so everyone's different. And it's all so objective. I'll say, I don't know if you, I'll send you some of his writing and podcasts, but Graham Duncan is someone that I've been studying, and how the phrase he uses is taste in people. And it's an interesting word choice, but it really resonates, because my taste might be different than your taste and someone else's, but when you work on a team with individuals who have, you know, shared values and are looking for the same things, the kind of the key underlying fundamentals of who a person is, like those are typically shared. What do we look for at Highland when we're looking for a founder, and how do I show up to those conversations? So we look for individuals who have great founder market fit. And so the term product market fit is thrown around a lot. It's an important term, but founder market fit to us is, who is this individual? Why are they pursuing the problem statement or opportunity that they're pursuing? Like, why is it just like, why are they so deeply passionate about it that they are willing to put anything else? And all of these people are so magnetic and capable that they're, you know, pushing aside so much other opportunity to grab hold of this idea and drive it forward. So founder market fit is key. We are looking for really passionate, mission-driven individuals who are, yeah, just like on a mission to make it happen. And I'll say the kind of born and raised story really comes through here, because born and raised will transition into founding story. So it's the why, and it's the, well, who did you ideate with on when this was just like the kernel of an idea? Who did you ideate with on, and how did it become the company it is today? And how are you going to carry it forward to what you want it to become in the future? So founder market fit is a big one, and you can learn a lot about a person in terms of how they kind of defined the opportunity and how they've gone about executing against it in the early years of it. And I'll say a couple other like more like fix things before I come back to some of the more like softer and tangible stuff. But we invest in early revenue companies, so they brought their product to market. They are selling it. There is early product market fit. And there's feedback. There's great market feedback that comes with that. There's also data. So we say, like, one of the things we like to say is the numbers don't lie. So when we're diligencing a company and talking to a founder, there is enough data for us to evaluate the health of the business and the growth trajectory, potentially the growth, you know, past growth, to look at, you know, forward-looking projections, but also how have they operated and run the business today. So we look for capital efficient businesses, and we look for companies that have high quality business model. So are they retaining their customers? Are they growing from their existing customer set? Do they have high gross margins, growth rate, things of that nature? So you can really understand how a leader has designed and shaped their organization and how they are fueling growth and thinking about expenses through the numbers. So those kind of all those through lines get pulled in initial conversations as we're learning about a business and a founder. And then I guess some of the more intangible stuff that I'll come back to is with anything in life. It's just, how does this person present? What is their energy? What is their body language? Are they, you know, calm under pressure? They have grace under pressure. Are they able to kind of take a question they weren't expecting, sit with it, and deliver a thoughtful answer? And in instances where we're on calls with the founder, or let's say co-founders together or a team, how does the CEO, the leader, embrace and empower the folks around them to really like step into the spotlight when appropriate. And you can kind of learn a lot about how a team works through that, you know, like it's casual conversation, but it's also how are they choosing to present and represent themselves. And then as an operator, having worked in the wild west of startup land with no process, like I believe there are power processes, is that a term, that can be a gift, and that they deliver operational scale, that they you know, infuse a high bar on communication and consistent communication and transparency. And I think all of those signals are signals of a really healthy culture and operating system that the team is, you know, is working within and building. So when I'm listening and asking questions, I'm trying to like understand, like, okay, like really inspiring founder, I see the market opportunity, I understand why they're going after it. Okay, now I want to learn, like, how do these people work, and how are they going to come together, especially when, like, it's not a linear path. There are plenty of bumps along the way, and you want to have confidence that the team can navigate those hard times with some grace and with some calm and with some, like, good process or structure that can help them.
Absolutely. And I think I definitely hear that there are some fixed qualities that you look at, and a lot of that is data driven and the numbers don't lie. And, but there's this deep needing to understand the founder, co-founders, and team that is placed in front of you. And so it's that, you know, getting curious, asking questions, you know, reading, as you said, the body language, the interactions, you know, what is their processes, what is the transparency and the communication, the level of it in the room as you are, you know, taking note or recognizing, or just, again, there's this, I'm hearing there's this deep need to understand as quickly as possible, what the personality and the strengths and the weaknesses are of the founders and even their surrounding team.
One of the first things we ask ourselves when we're evaluating an opportunity is this a founder I would work for? And so is it a work with, or is it a work for? Like, would you leave Ireland to go work for that founder? And I answer it, and my general partners who have been in the business for 25, 30 years, you know, ask themselves the same question. And so we have a concentrated portfolio. We're only making very limited number of investments per fund. And it's not something we just say, like, we take that question very seriously. Like, is this someone that I would personally go work for?
No, I think that's great. And I'm curious of what excites you. I think there is such a value in having fresh eyes on, any sort of environment, right? Because you were able to see things, perhaps, that environment that has become kind of either created their own patterns or routines of doing things, or even enmeshed, that sometimes it's hard for, you know, the individual or the collective to lift their head up and see how things have started to develop, right? And so having a fresh eyes into anything is such a value add, and you're new, right? And so there is a disadvantage and there's an advantage. And I think you are sitting, you know, Highland's sitting in a great spot of being able to be those fresh eyes, you know, after they've already gone to market and early on, but still, you know, enough kind of data and understanding of where that company is at. And so I'm curious of what really excites you when you are bringing those fresh eyes into a portfolio company, and like, what are some things that excite you in regards to culture and how processes are playing out? And, you know, what are some things that kind of light you up and give you an understanding that there may be a mindset or a culture or a drive or certain skill sets within this company that's going to be able to take them to that next step? I would imagine there are certain things that kind of light you up. And what are those things?
Yeah. I think there are three things, and I'm going to say them now so I remember to come back to them. One is team. Two is go to market, just because that's like my background, and I think it's just so fun. And third is kind of like creative thinking and creative problem solving. And I have a great example that came to mind. So bringing it back to team, it's actually such a great early indicator of the, you know, the magnetism of a leader or the product or the company culture. Like, is this founding team, are these founders attracting world-class talent? Right. Shortly after I started at Highland, one of our companies was in looking for a VP eng, so a head of engineering. And I was like, okay, like, great. Like, let me think through my network, and I was starting to kind of organize the Highland network in a more structured way. And I was, okay, I'm going to like start to go through this like data, think through our network and where we can make some calls. And my partner Craig's like, I got it. He picks up the phone. He calls the former VP eng and chief architect of Akamai Technologies, that literally was responsible for like over 30% of World Wide Web, like daily usage, took the company public, was like CTO of another Highland back company that we sold to Grubhub. Like, just he was like happily like, yeah, I'm not working. And we introduced him to our founder, and he's now the CTO of that company. And so it just speaks to like the caliber of individuals who are in the Highland ecosystem, the magnetism of our founders. And then I think like the strength of Craig, my partner in this example, of his like connective tissue. And he's so trustworthy and has cultivated these just incredible relationships over, you know, years and years of being in the business, that when he makes that call and it's like, hey, I think you should talk to this company and here's why, the individual takes the call, and like, what a great example. They hit it off, and now they're just this like really dynamic team working together. So I guess for me, it's a great example out of the gates of just like how high the bar is for everything we do here. And so anyways, that's a great example of like supporting team building post-investment, but also when we're diligencing the company, like we want to meet the whole leadership team. And we ask questions of like, okay, where, like, how are you thinking about organizational design? Where are you looking to up level? And, you know, we're doing our homework. We're really like through, you know, just through using LinkedIn and available tools in our network, like we're understanding the strength of the different functional leaders from the sidelines. We don't always know these people, but we're really looking for founders who are kind of like eyes wide open on like what it takes to really achieve those next levels of scale from a talent perspective. And are they, you know, thinking about investing their dollars in the right places for the right type of people? And have they brought on, have they demonstrated an ability to do that? So to attract and retain world-class talent through, you know, maybe a hire or two to date. So that's just like such a great indicator. If, you know, elite people are following someone and believe in a, you know, in the mission, it's it makes things fun and easy to get other world-class people on board. So supporting that team building and, you know, ideating on, you know, who, like, how are we thinking about org design? Is that really the right need? Is there something bigger here structurally? You know, is it, do we need to bring in more ICs, or is it really like a mid-level hire? Or do we need to think about like building out a CX function? We haven't done that yet. Like, what are the different inflection points at which it warrants making that investment or whatever it might be? So I love thinking through org design and then helping our founders and teams meet just world-class people. So that's one thing that lights me up. The second is supporting commercial activities. So it's really fun being able to activate our network for customer introductions or partnership introductions. And we're usually setting the seeds of that as we're doing our diligence and learning about a company. So we have a very, as much as we can, like with as much data is available, in my mind, it's more of like a PE light type model to diligence, where we really get in the weeds and understand our companies and their markets. And for that reason, it enables us to help them or like be there to help in a much more tangible way that I think is normal for most VCs. But anyway, supporting like pipeline building and conversion for our companies is so fun. And then given my background as an operator and a commercially minded people, kind of being a sounding board on go-to-market strategy is really fun. It's interesting because like I coming into the job, I was like had, you know, had imposter syndrome, like who am I? I mean, I've seen a few cycles at, you know, at the startup I was at, but you know, these founders are so bold and brave and they've been in it from day one. And who am I to know, you know, X from Y? But it's so often like the same movie kind of play, like each inflection point of growth, there's a lot of patterns that take hold and a lot of pattern matching. And it's been really fun being like recognizing how many experiences I have that maybe are with, you know, in a different market or a different customer set or whatever it is, but they're parallels, and being a safe sounding board is really fun. And then seeing kind of like how those thoughts take shape and ultimately are brought to market is awesome. And then, so I think your question was like, what lights me up as it relates to supporting our companies? This is like 100% in the camp of me being a cheerleader than us, like Highland or me having anything to do with. But I love the passion and creative energy that our founders and teams bring to the table just day in and day out is so fun. Our most recent investment is a pet telehealth business for employers. And so it's just like this, there are all these great market tailwinds of, you know, the number of vets is like way down, and the 70% of US households have pets, et cetera, and the cost of veterinary care is so high, et cetera, et cetera. So there are all these like, you know, great like leading indicators from a market macro perspective. On a very individual human level, like so many people have a dog or a cat or, you know, fur baby at home and just love that animal and will do anything to keep them healthy and happy. And with that in mind, our founder, when he started the business as a B2C business, and around a year and a half ago pivoted from B2C to B2B, recognizing that in the world of employee benefits, that this was a new category and unique offering, and one that he proved out there's absolutely appetite for in a real way. But anyways, in one weekend, he was like, our message resonates. I am going to reach out to every Fortune 500 CHRO and Total Rewards leader and just like let them know about AirVet and what we're doing. And through that has just cultivated this insane advisory board. And these are just all individuals who are like, yeah, I had to pay a $2,000 pet bill because my dog ate a sock last week. And like, you're amazing and you're like on a mission and your energy is magnetic and I want to be a part of it. And through that has just cultivated this insane network of all of the most like elite chief people and CHRO leaders out there. And that type of stuff is so fun to, you know, be sitting in the back seat and along for the ride on. So it's where people, like a broad universe of passionate people, are coming together around a shared mission.
It's awesome to hear what is exciting to you and what lights you up. I'm curious if you had a crystal ball or like the clearest intuition, which we all have intuition, you know, and that's another question to ask of how do you lean on your intuition throughout these processes. But if you had a crystal ball and you could ask in those kind of early learning stages with founders, and be able to see the future in some sense, what would you love to learn with that tool or that ability?
I think I want a little preview into, and I don't want this to sound negative because it's not, I just think it's real of like, what does it look like and feel like when things get hard? Because through a fundraising cycle, things are so, and in like post-investment, things are so high energy, right? Most companies go to market to fundraise off of a few strong quarters and momentum and excitement. And on the VC side, when you're doing a deal, like all of that shared energy is very much there. But for the large majority of companies, it's not like a straight up and right. Even though like all the VC side, like it looks that way, it's there's so many like bumps and bruises and curveballs along the way. And that's part, like, and that's what makes you stronger and better. And so, and maybe that comes back to sport and being gritty and wanting to like, see how people, you know, show up under pressure, communicate under pressure, see big picture and kind of like pull back, evaluate, and then be really like surgical, strategic, strong communicator and how they execute communicating, you know, up to the board, down and out through the org.
No, I think it's brilliant. I think you've shared just even in your athletic career, your challenges of what is it like when things get hard? How do you respond? How does the team respond? How does leadership respond? And yeah. I think you're absolutely right. When at some point in life, in business, you're going to experience a critical moment. You're going to experience challenge, you know, that may last a short period of time. It may feel like a long pull. It may mm-hmm. feel like seasons of it, right? Not just one, mm-hmm. season, but many yeah. seasons of it. And I think, and especially thinking about being a team and how to navigate through those critical points or those challenges, or what is it to get gritty and put your head down and grind through what is not the energizing, not the fun work, not, you know, what you're looking forward to walking into each day. And I'm curious of when you are recruiting top talent to put around founders, and, you know, at times I wish we could all walk around with a crystal ball and have that insight prior, but maybe what are some questions or skills that you are either asking or looking for to provoke some of that understanding of what kind of individual or teammate or leader are you going to be in these critical times?
Yeah, good question. And I think the role that I've played in is kind of like a sounding board up front and like, okay, what is the right, like what's the role archetype? And then what are the qualities and characteristics of the right person? So it's like upfront kind of role definition. And then maybe it's also like towards the end of the process, towards the end of the interview process. And then it's also reference call, like back channel reference calls, right? And so I am thinking of the role I play in the interviews and in those reference calls is I'm looking to get to know that person and pair my understanding of this new to me individual with the founder and the rest of the team and that team's culture. Because if someone's gotten that far along in the process, they have the technical skills, they have the domain expertise, they clearly want, you know, they want the job, they want to be in like in this specific market, or you know, so it's like all of those boxes have already been checked. And so it's how can I be helpful and really assessing fit on the human level. And I'm thinking like even on like reference call, it's fun asking, you know, past colleagues or bosses questions like, and you know, not asking like what's someone's weakness to like, oh, gotcha, got your weakness, but it's more like, how have you, what type of resource or what type of skill sets have you seen partnered with this individual that like really make them shine? Or questions that are all about like getting at like, this person's a superstar, but like talk to me about the environment and the ecosystem that allowed them to thrive. And hopefully there are like synergies and we can carry that forward and help. Like I can share that with back to the founder and then be like, oh, like that's so great. Like we can think about bringing in a supporting asset or that will really work well in our culture. Or there's, huh, that's a question mark. Like we should have eyes. We still love that person, but we should have eyes wide open on that communication style and how it might not immediately mesh with who, how we are. It, you know, it's always different, but it's fun asking just some of those like very simple human questions, getting at like who's the essence of this person, like what makes them tick when they're at their best, why, and then how do you like line that up with the given organization that you're talking about.
It's outstanding. I think, again, when you're thinking about Highlands, ethos and the comment that you said, playing team sports is just more fun. Those are questions that are coming from team-minded individuals. You don't ask, what are some skill sets that have been paired with this individuals that it really has allowed them to thrive without having a healthy ego, wanting to collaborate with others, wanting to build things with others, and really wanting to work in a team capacity and experience, as you said, excellence, and I think those are just, I think taking what you've shared with us and thinking about our listeners and whether you're in a leadership role, what I am like totally double clicking on is just this approach of curiosity and understanding. And it's not just about plugging and playing the role based on, what the description of the role is, but really, how does the individual on a person level operate? What are their needs? What are their strengths? What happens around them when they are in a team setting? Is it oil and water, or is it fluid? There's, and not to even say like you're going as deep as what triggers this individual, because we talk about that in the coaching world, but at least understanding what allows for not the extreme highs and lows, but really kind of having a beautiful, balanced flow. And the impact of being willing to take that time to understand, be curious, and look at the front end, and perhaps what is the time and the cost that it saves you on the back end to really do your due diligence to understand individual and team dynamics and setting, teams up for success so that they can operate at their highest good.
Yeah, it's, I completely agree. And it's funny, something you said, it had me think about, there are people that I worked with for 6+ years, like day in and day out in the trenches. And we were just so busy working that I didn't, we never, I knew, like I knew the topical things, but there wasn't like true depth to those relationships and slowing down, taking the time to really get to know people and understand them is always worthwhile, right? Because through that connection, you can be a better teammate, you can be a more effective communicator, you can be more empathetic. If you're in a leadership position, you can give feedback in a way that's just so much more genuine and constructive. You can hold people to a high level of accountability because you see them and know them as a full person. Like
Building that
everything.
rapport absolutely gives you that space around the edges and a little bit of wiggle room to call upon each other and be human and, be imperfect, but still have the best intentions already set in place through that trust and rapport that you've built, which is critical, especially when you're embarking on journeys that there's going to be challenges. There's going to be be
inevitably.
Yes, hard times. What is the greatest gift that you would hope to give to all of your clients? Like, what is, like, if I could at the end give you this, then, you know, the bow signed, sealed, and delivered. Like, what is really truly kind of your vision or mission around the greatest gift that you can give?
What a great question. Maybe I'll answer it from the lens of, like, for Aleka instead of for Highland.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that everyone feels, can, like, truly feels, like, knows, but has a, you know, a bodily feeling that Aleka is here to understand and support and help, and that I am, like, a safe space, a sounding board, and just someone who deeply cares in what's best for them and what's best for their business, and is willing to kind of, like, slow down, ask the right questions, understand how they're doing. Like, I cannot imagine a harder job of being a founder of one of these rapidly growing businesses with all these demands on the individual as the founder. And so I would hope that they would leave a meeting with me feeling, like, seen and supported.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time, your insight, your shared wisdom. It has been an absolute joy, and I look forward to sharing with our listeners. Thank you.
Thanks, Cami. Always a blast.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please take the opportunity to share with a friend, follow Mindful Warrior Radio, and leave a review. To learn more about Mindful Warrior and Mindful Warrior Radio, please follow us on Instagram at The Real Mindful Warrior and check out our website at www.mindfulwarrior.com. I look forward to our next discussion here on Mindful Warrior Radio.